shukru lillah, through the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have this opportunity to increase our knowledge during this afternoon's Q&A program. Zakat nisab is 6,253 rand. Mahar al-Fatimi is 15,633 rand. Well, a very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners that are listening to us locally, nationally, as well as internationally. And indeed, we are indebted to Mufti Sahib as well, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib Hafizahullah, as well as to the directors and the sound engineers of the various radio stations joining us this afternoon. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Hafiz Wadi, Jazakallahu khairan.
Sub, our very first question that we have, this person would like to know the virtues or the message from Suratul Insan or Surah Dahar. What are the virtues?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, Amma Ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Dahar is chapter number 76 of the Noble Quran. It was revealed after the Hijrah and in Medina Munawwara and surroundings, and it comprises 31 ayat and 31 verses. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the surah regularly on Jummah, on a Friday, in the second rakat of Fajr Salat. And why? To show people that regarding the qualities of the Abrar, what are the true qualities of the pious people? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They would feed the people for the love of Almighty Allah, no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. Sometime feeding the poor and destitute, sometime the orphan, sometime those in captivity in prison. And why they did all this? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We feed only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah جَلَّ وَلَا. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any compensation from you and no thanks from you. And thereafter Almighty Allah speaks about Jannah and the bounties of Jannah. جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Such people, Allah will grant them Jannah. They will be wearing the clothes of silk, وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. And they'll be reclining on the couches of Jannah beyond our perception and comprehension. Likewise, Almighty Allah speaks about the fountains there, عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا. The springs of Jannah will be known as سَلْسَبِيل. So many bounties Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is mentioning. So therefore, there are great virtues regarding this particular surah, and every verse of the noble Quran has great virtues.
For that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, the wife had given birth today. What must be done today and what must be done on the seventh day?
MashaAllah, happy occasion for the husband, wife, the parents, that now she gave birth, the wife. So today your wife gave birth in the right ear, adhan, in the left ear, iqama, and tahniq. You take the dates and you chew it and make it small, tiny pieces, insert it in the mouth of the baby, and that is called hannaka. The palate, you know, of the mouth of the baby, you insert it there. So that is the meaning of tahniq. When you study Sayyidina Hassan Basri Rahimahullah, the sage of the age, so he was born in Medina Munawwara, and Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made his tahniq. Lo and behold, what do we see? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu read the following dua for him. Allahumma faqihhu fi deen. O Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, give him Hassan Basri. That in afterwards in life he went to Basra and Iraq. Nevertheless, may give him the profound, deep understanding of Islam, وَحَبِّبْهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ, and make him beloved to the people. And these are the three sunnats for the day when the day the baby is born. And then on the seventh day, so seventh day will be Saturday, this coming Saturday. So then you will slaughter two goats or two sheep for a baby boy, or one goat or one sheep for a baby girl. And then you will shave the hair of the baby completely, boy or girl. And after shaving the hair, take some zafran, saffron, mix it with water, and then apply it on the head of the baby. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. In the pre-Islamic days, the days of Jahiliyyah, they would take the blood of the animal and smear it on the head. Islam came and abolished these pagan customs and said, we give you the best of the best, and we use zafran, saffron, mix with water, and apply on the head of the baby. Choose a wonderful, beautiful name, mashallah. Give out some charity. So that are the sunnats for the seventh day. Last night, mashallah, one of my good friends, Hafiz Imran, Hafiz Muhsin Randeri, mashallah, his wife gave birth, and we read all these duas for a baby boy, mashallah. One son and one daughter now they got. So what dua we made? Whenever your family member, somebody gives birth, so then read this dua. اللهم فقهه في الدين وحببه إلى الناس وأنبته نباتا حسنا. Ya Allah, give them profound, deep understanding of the deen of Islam, and Ya Allah, make them beloved to humanity, and let them develop and grow up, Ya Allah, in a powerful, strong person, spiritually, physically. So these are the type of du'as we should read. Allah Jalla Wala, make your children the Qurrata A'yun, the coolness of your eyes.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, soon we'll be approaching the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. What are the virtues of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah?
Yes, today I sent out that tomorrow evening, Monday night, will be 32 and a half hours. So, mashallah, we will cite it with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. So, Monday night, tomorrow, Q&A with Mawlana Arafat, inshallah, we will announce it that the moon has been sighted, inshallah, al-Aziz, and that will usher in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. So, what are the months, what are the virtues of Dhul-Qa'dah? First and foremost, understand the meaning of Dhul-Qa'dah. Zulqa'ada, Zilqa'ada, Qa'ada means to sit. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 36, Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi ithna ashara shahran fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal arda mina arba'atun hurum. Almighty Allah, the day He, Allah Jalla Wala, created the universe and the entire creation. So that day already Almighty Allah ordained and prescribed there will be 12 lunar months. From these 12 lunar months, 4 are sacred months. So which 4 are sacred months? The Quran Sharif is silent. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salatun Mutawaliyat. 3 are consecutive, Zulqa'ada, Zulhijjah and Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So these are the 4 sacred months. So what does it mean? It means in those days, even pre-Islamic days, when these months would sit, these months would enter, the people would be sitting and no warfare, no civil war, nothing. So Zulqa'dah, the month of relaxing, sitting. Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj. Muharram, the sacred month, the Hajis have to return. That time was no plane and all these type of things. It took them 1 month to go, 1 month to return, and so forth. And the month of Rajab, during the course of the year, they want to go for Umrah and so forth. So nobody will pursue them and attack them, and highway robbers will not take advantage of them. So it shows Zulqa'dah is one of the 4 sacred months. Second one, when you study Siratul Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam Hayat al-Tayyibah, you will find Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ihram for Umrah in the 6th year, in the 7th year, in the 8th year, all were in the month of Zulqa'dah. It's the best time beside Ramadan to perform an Umrah. 6th year was Zulqa'dah, and remember the aborted Umrah that led to Sulah Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. 7th year, the 1500-1400 Sahaba went back with Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and performed the Umratul Qadha as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So that was also in Zulqa'dah. Then in the 8th year of the Hijrah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, conquest of Makkah took place, remember, during Ramadan. Thereafter, the Battle of Hunain took place. Again, that was in Shawwal. So that also, the Muslims were victorious. And thereafter, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah. And today, O Muslim, O Muslima, make dua, Allah Jalla wa Ala opens up all the roads, Ya Fattah, Ya Fattah, that we can all go for Hajj, we can go for Umrah, go to Ziyarat in Madinah Munawwara. Those of you who haven't been there, you should ensure you go. So one place to tie your ihram, when you're already in Makkah, you want to make a nafil umrah, so you go to Tan'im. That is where Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha with her brother Abdurrahman radiallahu anha. And he, Mustafa, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that occasion in Zulqa'dah, and this was in the 8th year of the Hijrah, fastened the ihram in a place called Ji'rana, 30 kilometers away from Makkah. So mashallah, sometimes when I'm there, my family, friends, I take them there. Some people tell me I came 10, 20 times, nobody even told us about this. So that is very important, because from that area and that place, Mustafa, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performed the Umrah Mubarakah. So these are the important aspects of Zulqa'dah. May Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy for all the Hujjaj, all the Mu'tamirin, all the Zaireen, those who want to perform Hajj, those who want to perform Umrah, those who want to go for Ziyarat to Madinah Munawwara. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, show us the places of Umrah and Hajj bifadl ورحمتك وجودك وكرمك يا رب العالمين through your mercy, through your grace, through your benevolence, يا رب العالمين وتب علينا and forgive us, because we all commit so many sins. So what happens to us? That's sometimes Almighty Allah takes away these bounties away from us. So therefore read the other dua. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika. Ya Allah, we seek your protection. Min zawali ni'matik. That your bounties are snatched away from us. We seek your protection, ya Allah. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, you are all forgiving, very merciful. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. Allah Jalla wa Ala make it a reality.
Mufti Sahib, many students are in grade 12 for this year, and many of them are very undecided on their career choice for 2021. What is Mufti Sahib's advice?
When one studies the noble Quran, you will find that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala commanded Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for one single thing more and more. And what is that? Knowledge. Rabbi Zidni Ilma. Open Surah Taha, chapter number 20, and you will find the verse there. Qul, say O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi zidni ilma. Chapter 20, verse 114. When one studies the dua, Mustafa's Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite daily after Fajr, and his authentic hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah, three parts to it. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh beloved Allah, I beg of thee such knowledge that is beneficial. And ya Allah, wa rizqan tayyiba, such sustenance that is pure and wholesome. Wa amalan mutaqabbala, and such actions that are accepted in your court, ya Allah. So you, my son, my brother, what you should do, look for such a career where you're not only going to make money, nay, where you can be a service to humanity. Islam does not say every person must become a hafiz and alim. We need people in every field. But the prerequisite condition is that the person must protect his belief. He must always remain 100% complying with the Sharia and the belief structure of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That's one. Two, never forgo your identity. And third one is, whatever field you want to choose, provided that is permissible, you read the simple dua mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that you are the one, you select the best for me and you choose for me. When I went to Wits University, I can't remember, it was beginning of this year or last year. It was beginning of this year, yeah, the varsity just opened. So when I went there, they told me that a lot of medical students have just enrolled. So I addressed them, and mashallah, two brothers also embraced Islam there that day. Nevertheless, so I told them, brothers, you are starting your career in the field of medicine. So you should not just say, I want to make money. You should say, I want to be an asset to humanity, and every day I will see one patient free of charge, Muslim or non-Muslim. So in that way, Allah will bless you with so much barakah and blessing. That is an example. So whether we Maulana, whether we Mufti, whether we Qari, whatever, so we must also become an asset to humanity. Not now we do something, I perform nikah, pay me 1,000 rand. I do this, pay me 500 rand. I do this, pay me 5,000. No. So we must learn to become an asset to humanity. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyah. Oh, beloved Allah. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek of you, you bless me with ilman nafiyah. Such knowledge that will go into the hearts of people and change their lives. So that type of knowledge we require in all fields. Why did Almighty Allah send Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa deenil haqqi liyuthirahu ala deeni kulli. We as Muslims must be the masters in every field. Our engineers must be the best. Our pilots must be the best. Our doctors must be the best. Our ulama must be the best. That is what Islam is teaching us. So therefore, my son, you are in grade 12, matric, or whatever you want to. So that is what your intention should be. And cry to Allah from today. 2 rakat salah daily. Allah will inspire you to make the right decision and take the correct decision, inshallah.
I mean, Mufti Sahib, what are the duties of a father?
The duties of a father, I need to juxtapose and compare what is happening today and what's supposed to happen. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala puts certain thoughts in our mind when we look at our family, our friends, our society. So I call this the C syndrome, C, A, B, C. Look at the father today, general Muslim father, non-Muslim father. What will they do? They will buy the best of clothes for the baby. For the baby, they will buy the best of clothes. And thereafter, remember, they will give money. Thereafter, they will give computers. You see small children doing all online now. So thereafter, what they will do, they will give us a computer, then they will give CDs, then they will give, car, then they will give everything with a C. But the greatest C, which Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, that is totally neglected. What are we doing as fathers, as mothers today? Let us be honest and do some introspection and do some soul searching. We are buying the love of our children. We're not sharing the love. You take our parents, just go back 30, 40, 50, 60 years and see, they did not have that much today, what we got today. Today, every second, third person got so much wealth, so they got no time for their children. They busy working on the golf and here and there and sports and this meeting. So the son talks, just take this 1,000 and take 500 and just go. Daughter, what you want? Yeah, take 1,000 and just go. So we're buying their love. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. O father, O mother, the greatest gift you can give your children is good character. You see, when we are the ones, we build our children's mind as a secular mind. So when you go on, he can't even read your Salatul Janazah. He can't even read one Surah Yasin for you. He can't do anything for you because his aim was just to make money. But who is to blame? It's very sad. I saw such examples in my life already. The person will tell me, my father passed away. I don't even know the du'as what to read. Please tell me what I must read. So brothers, sisters, we need to get away from the secularism, Al-Almaniyah in Arabic it's called. This is the devil. Remember that if you study secularism, it means to promote and advocate a godless society. You must take God, take Almighty Allah out of everything, and your religion must become a private issue you do in your house. Don't come tell us about religion. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Today, if you look at Muslim countries, Arab countries, majority of them are going in that direction. You look at the curriculum, you look at the school syllabus and so forth. So, brothers, sisters, we have to spend time. When last did you, oh father, have a heart-to-heart talk with your daughter? Oh mother, when last did you have a heart-to-heart talk with your son? Be honest. We just tell them, do this, do this, do this. So we have failed in our responsibility as a father, as a mother, and we have not taught our children what are manners, what are morals, what are character. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi. No person will make it to be successful except if you know what is adab and respect. وَمَا سَقَطَ مَنْ سَقَطَ إِلَّا بِسُوءِ الْأَدَبِ. And always that person will be a failure who is bare adab and with disrespect. So, that is, you must remember that. Don't worry, I'm very well, just a little bit cough, alhamdulillah. So anyway, you must remember, this is what the Shair, the poet, says, that is, that we have to learn this adab. Study Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life history. What did Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? Inna ma bu'istu mu'allima. I have been sent as a teacher. So one side, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching Surah 62, Surah Jumu'ah, verse number 2. Four functions, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, teach them how to read the Quran Sharif, and wa yuzakihim, purify them, sanctify them from kufr and shirk, and outwardly from blasphemy and polytheism, inwardly from pride, jealousy, envy. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and teach them the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah. وَإِنْ Second hadith, إِنَّمَا بُئِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to complete and perfect the greatest character. And who is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your character is so sublime, so exalted, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are teaching, but we're not focusing anything to do with character. So we're sacrificing that for materialism, for money, for assets. So that is halfway effort. So every parent should look at what Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us with. Open Musnad Ahmad and you will find all these ahadith there.
Well, moving on with the next question, Mufti Sahib, kindly enlighten us. Who are the Ashara Mubashara?
MashaAllah, what can I tell you? When I was first time, my beloved parents came from South Africa and I came from Karachi, got my visa there. And it was 1974, Ramadan. My parents spent 5 weeks and then they went to Europe and all, they came to Pakistan. I must tell you what happened in Pakistan also. So, anyway, I spent 6-7 weeks there because I told them, no, I like Haramain Sharifain too much. So subhanallah, sometimes, you know, you meet some old sheikh and some old people. So the one person told me, you know what is all this? You see, today with the Haram Sharif all extended, expanded, there's very little signs left, you know, because we also want the Haram to be extended, expanded, so mashallah. So if you go, you went there in the 60s, 70s, then I know my parents went in 63. For Hajj, and this first time then they came for Umrah in 74. Nevertheless, I want to share this with you, very, very important. So when you used to come out from Babi Jibreel, that time Babi Jibreel was the main entrance. So when you came out from the masjid, and now you look on the right-hand side, coming out, then you would find 10 small pillars there. Now, this was done by the Khilafat-e Uthmaniyya, the Ottoman Empire. They didn't write anything, but they left nishani. They left marks everywhere, signs everywhere. So the Sheikh was telling us, you see this? This was the place Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told these 10 Sahaba, and we the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say, these 10 Sahaba, beloved students, companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the greatest of the greatest after all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then come Ashab Badr, the 313 Sahaba who participated in the Battle of Badr. So that is the place where Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi majlisin wahid at one time and took each one name. Let's go. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Sa'id. Who is Sa'id? Sa'id bin Zaid. He is the brother-in-law of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh. He was married to Sayyidina Umar's sister Fatima, and when Sayyidina Umar embraced Islam, he went there, he assaulted his sister and him, the brother-in-law, and then he embraced Islam. So afterwards they asked for forgiveness, obviously. So sometimes people do not know about him. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Sa'id fil Jannah, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Abu Bayda bin Jarrah fil Jannah, Abdurrahman bin Auf fil Jannah. Subhanallah. This Friday, today is Sunday, therefore I love to translate the khutbah from Makkah Mukarramah. Sheikh Saud Shuraim, when he came to South Africa, so I was introducing him there at Darulum, Newcastle. So he doesn't understand English, obviously. So I said that, you know, Sheikh Saud Shuraim, and I have to thank our Maulana Muhammad Gardi of White River, mashallah. He chartered the plane from here, you know, right to Newcastle, and Sheikh came there, mashallah. So I said that Sheikh Saud Shuraim, he became a hafiz of the whole Quran in 6 months. The students shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sheikh would supply, what's going on? I said, oh Sheikh, I'm telling them that you became a hafiz, that he smiled, you know. So mashallah, so Sheikh Saud Shuraim was speaking about wealth, you see, in this khutbah Friday, day before yesterday. He said, look at Sahaba, look at Ashra Mubashara. Allah gave them wealth, but if you take 50% of them from the 10, 50% of them were so rich. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, multi-millionaire, but he used everything for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Islam. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, multi-billionaire, one can say, so rich and wealthy, everything for Islam. Zubair bin Awam, when you study Bukhari Sharif and all, his estate worked out to millions, 30, 40 million, and not our rent and all the junk status. I'm speaking of the currency of that time there. So you got Sayyidina Abu Bakr, millionaire. You got Sayyidina Usman, radiallahu anhu, millionaire. You got Zubayr bin Awam, radiallahu anhu, millionaire. Abdurrahman bin Auf, millionaire. And Talha, radiallahu anhu, millionaire. Imagine. So in Islam, when Allah gives you wealth, is a great, great bounty. So how did Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam encapsulate it? Ni'mal malu salih lirajuli salih. Subhanallah. Who can teach us more than Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The income that is halal and in the hands of a pious person, male or female, that is one of the greatest bounties that Allah has conferred on a person. So that is Ashra Mubashara. I was telling you about Pakistan, of his wadi, just now I'll forget. So my parents went to Europe, they came back, Pakistan, all these things there. Then I put them in the hotel, JB's hotel, all that stories. You like stories, so let me give you one story before we take a break. So then I took them to the madrasa. It was Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri Rahimahullah's madrasa, where our ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Laksa, became a teacher, mashallah. We his first batch, mashallah. So my parents came. So my father was very, you know, rob wala, you know, he was very firm. Like, he told me, you pack your bag up now. I said, but what? Did he want? Say, I don't want you study here. But this is the best Darul Uloom in the whole of Karachi, the whole of Pakistan, not Karachi, as far as facilities go. My mother said, you pack your bag up now and come. So I said, okay, but what is your... Normally it's the other way around. The son wants to go home and the parents are saying you must stay. So I asked my father, so but what is wrong? He said, just look at the amount of flies here. My son can't study in this place with so many flies. I said, Ya Allah, now look at my father. Allah give Jannatul Firdaus. My mother, I say, Ma Kuroai. He said, but they lita, ite, but they Kuroai there to Karachiwan. What's all this red rag mask here? There's Pakis, they put all this pan marks here and all these type of things here. You must come home, you can't study here. Now imagine parents laugh. One is complaining about the flies, one is complaining about the pan and all these type of things here. Can you imagine? But I said, no, I want to study. Anyway, then they said, study, very good. But we want, you must come home. So alhamdulillah, then they were very happy. So sometime in life, Allah puts different. My mother even told me, all your clothes, I still got it by me. And I haven't given anything away because I know you like too much clothes. So even that she tried to tell me. But no, we stayed with Allah's help. So you, my children, students, never give up on the studying. Remember that. Your parents will become proud of you.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair to Mufti Saab. That brings us now to the end of the 30 minutes of this afternoon's Q&A program. Remember, the Q&A is right from 2 to 4 on Sundays and on Monday nights from 8 to 10. We continue after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A on this 28th day of Shawwal 1441. Our very first question for the next 30 minutes of the Q&A program. Mufti Saab, whilst a person is fasting, is it permissible for them to use eye drops as they have a dry eye condition?
Alhamdulillah, if you use eye drops, there's ijma and consensus that the fast will be valid and will not break, so there's no worry about that. Likewise, people love to use kuhul. Kuhul is surma and tamani. So that also is fine. Walo dhaqa ta'amahu fi famihi. Even though sometimes you get a taste in your mouth, then also your fast will still be valid. There is no problem with that.
On the topic of the eye, is there any du'as to read for the eyesight?
Yes, Allah Ta'ala, my mother-in-law was blind and she stayed here by us. She passed away here. And MashaAllah, speaking about our house here, we must thank our Bhuti Ghani, our Hafiz Abdul Ghaffar Ghani, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala grant their parents, both passed away, the father, Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So yes, you know, when we deal with a blind person, then you come to know. That's why in the Hadith it's called Habibatay. So the two things that are so beloved to a human being. And among Anbiya, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam became blind, Sahaba, some of them were blind, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum was blind, the Muazzin Abasa wa Tawalla Anjaul A'ma. Allah mentioned his story in Surah 80 verses 1, 2 and 3. And then you see Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, in his later life he became blind. So many Sahaba also became blind and so forth. Then you look in our time, Sheikh Abdul Hamid Al-Kishk Waliullah passed away in Sizda. So you must remember of Egypt, the sage of the age. So these are great people, we must remember that. So which ayat should we read for our eyesight? And if it's failing and so forth, then always read Surah 50, Surah Qaf, verse 22. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Ya Allah, make my eyesight sharp, Ya Allah, and very, very good, you know. So our that's why daily, O Muslim, O Muslimah, you're leaving your house, O husband, O father, you're going to the masjid, Fajr time. So Mustafa, Rahmatullah Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi lisani nura, wa fi banani nura. Oh Allah, put nur, radiance, effulgence in my heart, put radiance, effulgence in my eyes, put radiance, effulgence in my ears, put radiance, effulgence in my tongue, put radiance, effulgence in my entire body, Ya Allah. Sunnah dua of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst going to the masjid. You sisters, you finish made wudu, you're going to your namaz room, prayer room, your musalla, learn this dua. Allahumma jal fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi lisani nura, wa fi badani nura. And read, walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uhu biha. Remember that Almighty Allah in chapter 7, verse 180. So there Almighty Allah commands us. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah Jalla Wala by his beautiful names. We have lost this. So this Friday I gave lecture here in Sufi Masjid. I spoke about this Asma'ul Husna. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Man Ahsaha Dakhal Al-Jannah. Whosoever reads, you must remember that is The 99 names of Almighty Allah, He enters Jannah. You memorize it, very good. Otherwise, look inside and read. You like stories? I give you the story. 1993, our Dalum Newcastle was 20 years old. Maulana Qasim Sema, Rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Started Dalum in 73. Our first graduates were 83 in 93. So his son Ismail Aku, who's the principal now there in Dalum Newcastle, Maulana Ismail. So he was graduating. So his father's name Ibrahim and mother's name Hajra. So Ibrahim, Hajra and Ismail, all Mubarak family, mashallah. So nevertheless, so his father insisted that he was to call Maulana Muhammad Makki, Maulana Muhammad Makki Hijazi, the one who's alive still, he gives lectures there upstairs. So I was moving around with him, little bit and this and all that. So anyway, whilst giving the Bukhari lesson, he mentioned one incident, Ajib wa Gharib incident. His father is Maulana Khair Muhammad. His father was a great muhaddis and scholar. So mashallah, he says one day, in the lesson he's telling us, he says one day his father just lost his eyesight, became blind totally, you know. This doctors, opticians, optometrists and all that they call glaucoma or whatever, they know better. He went to the mazar, he went to the Rawda Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he cried. And when he started crying, he said, Ya Allah, my whole life, I was teaching hadith, and now I can't teach hadith because my eyesight is gone. I ask you, Ya Allah, through the barakah and wasila of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give my eyesight, restore my eyesight. Lo and behold, he said, my father's eyesight came back. We believe in this. His karamatul awliya haqqun. Remember when Allah wants, Allah does all these type of things. So many people experience so many things. So always remember when we are there, we should ask Almighty Allah through the wasila of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if we are in our own country, then speak to Allah and say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki wasila kaise barkat se. Hamari dua ko kabul farma. Then a lot of things will happen. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah.
Well, continuing with the Q&A program, is Mufti Saab is with us. Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saab, Hafizahullah. And our very next question for Mufti Saab is pertaining to Qurbani and the days of Qurbani. Mufti Saab, how many days does one have to make one's Qurbani?
MashaAllah, excellent question. MashaAllah, the days of Qurbani. Faswalli li rabbika wanhar. Read your Eid Salat, Eidul Adha Salat, and then slaughter Nahar. Nahar means you slaughter the camel. Camel you slaughter standing, and cow, your cow and sheep and all that you slaughter, keeping the animal laying down, that is called zabah, and tazbahu baqara. So both words are used in the noble Quran. Which days are the days of Qurbani? The Hanafis, the Malikis, the Hanbalis all say the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. So these are the days of Qurbani according to majority scholars. However, Al-Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah, there's a wonderful kitab for you students if you're interested, obviously. Is the ten by Hafiz ibn Kathir. Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, and Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, are buried in Maqabir al-Sufiyyah, there in Damascus, in Syria. So, mashallah, that Ibn Kathir wrote this book is called Al-Masailu Lati Infarada Biha Al-Shafi'i Duna Ikhwatihi. Those Masail where Imam Shafi'i is alone, and he went against all three Imams, against the Hanafis, Malikis, and the Hanbalis. So one of the masla he went against all three of them is this. So only Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says on the 13th of Zil Hijjah you can slaughter your Qurbani animal, but that majority ulama don't allow. Once in Malawi there was big controversy that the people are slaughtering there on the 13th, you know, in the poorer areas. So I said that they Shafi'is. So Shafi'is do allow it. Don't make a big story about it. They know what they are doing. So the Shafi'is allow it. So there's no problem with this.
Mufti Sabah, we have your next question that has come in wanting to know. This person says that they have been drowning in sin over the years and they feel they've got no hope, they've got no peace. What is the way out, Mufti Sam?
Brother, sister, we all believe in the Quran Sharif, we believe in the Hadith Mubarakah. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. See, I give you one example before I give you the ayat. How Rahim, how Kareem, how merciful, Akramul Akrameen is Almighty Allah. You heard of it. You saw a person making kufr, shirk, doing worshipping idols, does that, everything he was doing. And what that person did, after 60, 70 years, he said, I want to become Muslim. And lo and behold, he became Muslim. That Allah is so Rahim, so Kareem. Allah says, Kul lil mu'mineen, Kul lil Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Kulli al-ladhina kafaru iyantahu yughfar lahum ma qad salaf." Tell the non-Muslims that if they abstain from their kufr and shirk, then their sins are forgiven. See how Allah is so merciful. A person made kufr and shirk for 60, 70, 80 years. He embraced Islam. Maybe after 1 week, 1 month, 5 years, he passed away. He passed away Muslim. So that is Allah, Arhamur Rahimeen, Akramul Akrameen. So therefore, and if you want reference of that verse there, which I quoted now, Kullil ladhina kafaru iyantahu yughfar lahum ma qad salaf. So Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala has mentioned it in Surah Anfal, chapter number 8 and verse number 38. Chapter 8, verse number 38. And Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. When a person embraces Islam, then all the sins of the past are expunged, are removed, are erased. Who can give us such so much mercy? Allah Jalla wa'ala is Arhamur Rahimeen, wa adkhilna fi rahmatik. Ya Allah, include us in your special, special mercy. Wa anta Arhamur Rahimeen. Chapter 7, verse number 151. Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Now for you, for all of us, a special message. What did Almighty Allah says? That Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is teaching us, Qul ya ibadiy alladhina asrafu. Say, O Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to my servants, Allah's servants, asrafu ala anfusihim, went beyond the limits, they transgressed in every way. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Almighty Allah is all forgiving, He forgives all the sins. So when Allah is giving us guarantee, O insan, O masterpiece, you must take the first step. You must go take the initiative and then see Allah's help comes. So that is what we need to do. Don't look at our sins. Wa rahmatuka awsa'u min dhunubina. Ya Allah, your mercy is broader, wider, greater than all our vices and sins put together. So speak to Allah and appeal to Allah to forgive. But that does not mean our Salat, we don't make qada, start making qada. Our fasting, we don't make qada, start making the qada. Our zakat that is compulsory, start paying it. So show Allah that you want to change for the better, and then you will see how Allah's mercy will envelope you, brother. First thing, husnu dhanni billah. Remain positive with Almighty Allah, then everything will fall into place.
Mufti Saab, this comes from the UK. The student would like to know Mufti Saab's advice to study at the Darul Uloom in South Africa.
Yes, my brother, you want to study in South Africa. To be really honest, when people ask me questions, Mashura, I have to be honest. Al-Mustasharu Mu'tamanun. Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when people make Mashura with you, then you must give them the honest opinion. Give them a candid opinion, not a candid opinion. Not an opinion they want to they like. In this day and this age, for you foreign students from America and UK and Australia and wherever you are, my honest opinion is better for you to study there. And UK, you got so many darlooms, you got in Leicester, you got in Bury, and you got here and there in Blackburn, and so many. I went to so many of them myself. So my advice to you, brother, rather study there. There's so many issues about visas and so much and so on and so forth. That is my sincere advice to you. I think you are concerned, then maybe you want to learn some very good Arabic and so forth. So English, obviously, you know, but remember that if you want to master the Arabic language or any language for that matter, so it is how much effort you will put in. Remember that. Your vocabulary, your speaking, your practicing and all these type of things. No Darulum will make you a master. Remember that. It's how much effort you're going to put in. Inna al-ard al-muqaddasa la tuqaddisu ahada. Inna ma yuqaddisuhu amaluhu. Subhanallah. Go open one time, Malik, you will find the statement there. The honorable land, the sacred land of Aqsa al-Mubarak, the honorable land of Medina Munawwara, the honorable land and place of Makkah Mukarramah will not make you pious. Innama yuqaddisuhu amaluhu. Remember that the amal of the person will make him pious. That is what we need to learn.
Mufti Sahib, to recite Ya Salamu 142 times after Fajr or Maghrib for peace, is the figure or is this number, is it authentic?
Just today after Zohar, I told one person, his wife is not so well, I told him read Ya Salamu and tell the children as well. So anyway, so we make dua for all those who are ill and sick. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them shifa ya kamil. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's Mubarak name, Ya Salamu. However, we must draw a distinction. All this you must read 142 times, 150 times, all that definitely is not sunnah. So this is all man-made things. So we will say it's permissible. But if people are saying that you must read it like that, or is sunnah, then it becomes not permissible. So we need to draw that distinction. What is deen? Deen is hifadatu hududillah. We have to protect the deen and its pristine purity. It's like nowadays our people, every day, every week I get this question. My father passed away, my mother passed away, this one is very ill. So they told us to read 41 Yasin. So very good, read Surah Yasin. But the 41 got no basis. It is man-made. So you can read it, but don't say it's sunnah. Don't say it's compulsory. So if you're going to start saying that, then it becomes not permissible. So always draw that distinction. One is amal. Amal is some pious people, awliyaullah, buzruk, they said so, that's fine. But you don't elevate it to the rank where Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. Oh, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a sahabi doing so and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then allowed it to happen. That never happened. So therefore, same thing with Ya Salamu or any other name of Almighty Allah. The numbers we have associated, people wrote books on Asma'ul Husna, read this 100 times, read this 500. All that numbers are one side. They are not sunnah. We must always draw the distinction that, Ya Allah, let us teach this deen in its pristine purity and let us protect the teaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all addition and no omission as well.
Mufti Sahib, this wife is very distressed. Her husband had promised her that once they have a baby, he is going to give up all intoxicants. He is smoking and she does not know what to do. She cannot handle this anymore.
My sister, that is another famous question nowadays. It's on the increase. You see, once we have apartheid was a crime against humanity. No person in his right mind can ever justify it. But now from one extreme, we went to the other extreme. Every vice almost has become legal. So you see, today everything is flourishing. Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, and alcohol and so forth, and pornography and so many other things. So now people want weed, people want daha, people want mandrakes, people, I don't even know all these names. So now people start considering this as something normal because they're growing up in that environment. Their friends are busy with it and so forth and so on. So what happens in that environment, you must remember that. So people to come out of that is very difficult. Therefore, it's called khamr in Islam. Allah Jalla Wala uses this term. Do you know what is the meaning of khamr? Al-khamru ma yukhamiru al-aqla. Yet it beclouds the mind. It beclouds your judgment. Therefore, you will see our statistics long weekend. They will say 1,000 people dead. Why? Most of them were intoxicated under the influence or either they were speeding and so forth. So they lose their judgment. They lose everything. Islam said every drop of it is haram. So whether it is weed, whether it is dakha, whether it's whatever, all totally haram. Second one, we must remember that when I visit all these, you know, rehabs, so I be very honest to them and I said, see, you invited me, I'm not here to curry favor, but I'm to give you the true story. Whichever rehab I went, I go and speak to one or two of the seniors. I say, what is your recovery rate? And give me the true figure, not some exaggerated figure. They say 20-25%. I haven't heard of anyone more than 30%. So anyway, 20-25 is a normal going rate. So I said that when we spending here, they charge 10, 20, 30, 40,000 a month, depending which one you go to. So when your recovery rate is 25, when it's 20-25%, so they relapse, they go back into that. So I tell them that, see, the Quran Sharif has told us a lesson. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Verily, Almighty Allah Jalla wala will not change the condition and the plight of a people until and unless they change within themselves. Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, verse number 11. So when people themselves are not prepared to change, the doctor can't change you, the social worker can't change you, that Maulana's Taweez can't change you, so you have to change. So my advice to you, sister, you are in that marriage, you have a masoom baby and child. Tell your husband these are the conditions. You will stay with him. But if he goes back to his weed, he goes back to his evil friends and so forth and so on, then a talaq will fall automatically. If he doesn't want to, you move away. Why must you stay with such an immoral person whenever he's fulfilling his conjugal rights with you? All that napaki, all that drugs, all that weed, everything is going into you. And then it goes into the child, and so many things will happen. So remember, Islam taught us a pure system, a chaste system. Everything of Islam is pure. So therefore, once people come, I don't allow people to come to my house with all this kind of problems. Whole day and night I'll be sitting with this. So they phone me, send WhatsApp and all that. So I said, see, from my experience, if the person every time is going into relapse, then it's best you take your daughter home. Normally, we'll never give that advice. But I say, don't take divorce immediately. Tell him, this is the conditions, my daughter, my sister will come back. We're still prepared to give you one more chance. So that is how you can save the home, and inshallah, the child can grow up with both the parents. But you will see that most of the time, they go back. So because of that willpower, it fails them. So therefore, this is the scourge of drugs, destroying our youth and society. Allah have mercy on us.
Kindly enlighten us on the Ismul Azam.
Regarding the previous question, you must remember my student, Maulana Riaz Limbada, he's here in the Deer, near Roshni. So, I don't know how many years he's there now, 8 years, 5 years, 10 years. He came to me, he said, I'm to run a rehab and it's for girls, for ladies. I said, ooh, Maulana, that's very dangerous. So I said, you made up your mind? He said, yes, I want to. I said, fine. So make sure that every patient you see, your wife must be there. You never see anyone alone. They said, no, that is the system. So if you want all the hair-raising stories, you contact him, Maulana Riaz Limbada. MashaAllah, he gives very good lectures also and everything. And he will tell you hard stories of some Maulanas and what then what. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Appas and mix up things going on. So Allah make hifazat, Allah make hifazat, fallahu khayrun hafidhu wa warhamur rahimin. Allah have mercy on us. Ismullahi al-A'zam in Abu Dawood, there's a wonderful, beautiful hadith. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports. You know Sayyidina Anas? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara. So obviously, this is Habibullah, the most beloved, the most precious to all, Mati Allah Jalla Wala. How the daughters of Medina loved him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when they entered, they at Quba, so Banu Najjar, the Banat, the daughters of Banu Najjar, you go Cape Town, you will find Najjar family till today there, they mean carpenters. They welcome Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Thani Asnain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And whilst welcoming the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they said, Nahnu jawarin min banin najjari, Nahnu jawarin min banin najjari, Ya habbada Muhammadun jari. They said, how excellent today Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is becoming our neighbor. And we the Banu Najjar daughter, we welcome you, O Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Habbada Muhammadun Jari, how excellent for us today, Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is our neighbor. So, anyway, she came. Who is she? Umme Sulaim. So, Umme Sulaim came and said, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you see this young boy, his name is Anas, and he will make your khidmat, he will serve you, he'll run your errands for you. See a lady with wisdom. He said, Anas radiallahu anhu stayed there by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up and down, running around with messages, whatever, for 10 years. One day Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy, elated with him, he made dua for him. Allahumma barik lahu fi ahlihi wa malihi. Ya Allah, give him barakah in his family and his children, grandchildren, and wa malihi, and in his wealth as well. Now listen, where is Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu? He's buried there in Basra. He's buried there. He passed away in the year 93 after Hijrah. He says, when I counted my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, over 100 they were. And you must remember, when I looked at my farms and my crops and harvests, twice a year that my farm used to give crops. Barakah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua. And not only give harvests and crops, but a khushbu nikalti thi. There was a fragrance coming out from there. That is barakah. So karamat of sahaba radiallahu anhu. So Anas bin Malik says that I was with Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith in Abu Dawood. So we're speaking about Ismullah al-A'zam. He says one sahabi came and said, Ya badi as-samawati wal-arth, Ya badi as-samawati wal-arth, Ya Allah, you are the originator of the heavens and the earth. You are the one who created everything, Ya Allah. You are the origin. You know, today we say, I want the genuine, I don't want imitation. So Allah is the one who created everything. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. So when that Sahabi said so, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you, Sahabi, student of mine, you have read Ismullah al-A'zam, and now whatever you ask Allah, Allah will accept your dua. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. So what is Ismullah al-Azam of his wadi? You hafiz, mashallah, al-hayyul qayyum. Wonder, ponder, reflect on the meaning. Al-hayyu, me and you and every creation. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Who will be the last creation to die? Will be Malakul Maut and him. So remember, everybody's death, then his death also. Malakul Maut also will die. Everybody must perish. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Huwa Al-Hayyul Qayyum is ever living. He was, he is, he will always be. Al-Qayyum, he is self-subsisting. Every moment, every minute, every second, I need Allah's mercy, you need Allah's mercy, non-Muslim needs Allah's mercy. Without Allah's mercy, none of us can survive. So that is Al-Qayyum, that Allah Jalla Wala does not need anybody, anywhere, any time, any circumstances. And we, the entire creation, we need Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So read when you make dua. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And then you see Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, the hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai. Oh, beloved daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, quli, say in the morning, Ya hayyu ya qayyum, birahmatika astaghith. Ya Allah, you are ever living. Ya Allah, you are self-subsisting. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, birahmatika astaghith. Through your mercy, I seek your assistance. Everything will go right. Otherwise, you want for the family? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, birahmatika nastaghith. So learn all these du'as, authentic hadith in Sunan Nasa'i.
For that already, that takes us into an hour for this afternoon's Q&A program. After the break, we continue once again.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.